This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We're in the 7 o'clock hour here on this Thursday, May 29th. We were at OTAs earlier in the day, and thankfully the Saints had us indoors again, Cajun Cannon. Nice air conditioning.
I love it. I love
the indoor facility, too.
We play indoors. We play in the Superdome. We're not in Tulane Stadium. We're not outdoors.
Sorry. Speaking of the Superdome, you're pretty high on the Saints Week 1 opener against Arizona. Why is that, Cajun Cannon?
Well, because, you know, I love history, Steve.
You love your stats, too.
Yeah, I love history. I love stats. You might say, well, Bobby, give me the truth. Isn't stats the truth?
It's stats
not an opinion. It's not an opinion. It's not fake news. It's actually what has occurred. And I look at the Saints versus the Cardinals. They opened the season to see the Superdome for the third consecutive year. You know, playing that, you know, we hosting at home. We don't have to go on the road. Hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Now, what I like, this is one area that we're leading in the NFL, so how can you not be encouraged? New Orleans has now won its last six season openers, a club record, but more importantly, also the current longest opening winning streak in the NFL.
The black and gold?
In the National Football League. So we're going for seven in a row. So we are going to win seven in a row. And when you look at it, we've kind of, I think we've had the Cardinals number. Charlie, what is that? I'm looking where, you know, how many games you've won in a row. I think we've beaten the last, let me see.
I just remember a Thursday night game in Arizona didn't go so well. That's when Andy Dalton got picked off, I think, three times.
Yeah, but that's not playing at home.
No, not at home.
Yeah, when we play at home against the Cardinals, we have success. I think we're going for four in a row.
In the dome.
Yeah, I think either we've won four straight. I know we've won three straight. It's either three or four in a row that we've beaten the Cardinals in the Superdome. So that's why it's a win-win. You know, we're going to continue the opening day
streak.
Record. Yeah, streak now will be 1-0. It'd be more of a challenge. Can be 2-0.
Charlie's holding up his hand. He's got it.
Charlie, how many times have you
beat? I was given the five. It's been, I think, five in a row at the Superdome that the Saints have beat the Cardinals.
Oh, five in a row. So even better.
So 2019, they won in New Orleans. Let's see. 2013, they won in New Orleans. Dating a little bit further back, 2010, they won in New Orleans. 2007, they won in New Orleans. And then 1997, they won in New Orleans. So
well, and you know what, Charlie, to even go further back, you know why the Cardinals always been close to my heart? And he was my buddy. Remember Chandler, Chris Chandler?
Yeah.
He was the quarterback with the Arizona Cardinals, and then he took the Falcons to the Super Bowl. You remember they lost to the Broncos? And his wife, my wife, they're buddies, Diane Chandler, whose dad was John Brody with the San Francisco 49ers. So you talk about a gene pool there. So, you know, all of a sudden I remember playing Chris, I should say playing the Cardinals in 1991. That was the first time the Saints ever won a division. We played, they didn't have the nice stadium they got now. We played in Sun Devil Stadium where Arizona State plays.
Yeah.
And we beat the Cardinals to win the NFC West. 11-5. Now, we won 12 games twice, but never won the damn division because guess who? The freaking 49ers. We went 12 games, they win 14. But that year, we're 11-5 that won the division, and we beat the Cardinals in Phoenix at Sun Devil Stadium. But now we've had their number, though, in the Superdome. So Charlie,
Charlie's got more numbers for us.
Dating back to 1997, guys, that is the case. If you include the playoff game as well, back in 2010 when they blew them out 45-14 in that Super Bowl run.
Kurt Warner.
It is five straight victories for the Saints at home against the Arizona Cardinals. And, Bobby, you always talk about parity. The series between these two teams, 16-16 all time.
Wow. Well, listen, the NFL loves that. So the rubber match, you know, think about that. And And you know what's scary, though, about the Cardinals? Is that if you look at last year, man, they play hard for their coach.
Sure.
Who played, and I might have said this earlier, Charlie, maybe on the radio, just talking to one of y'all. You know who played the Rams as good as anybody? Tough? The damn Cardinals. The Rams, it might be like a 13-10 game, 17-30. For some reason, the Cardinals, the Rams might end up come out on top, but they're in a dogfight. So we're going to have to pack a lunch. We're going to have to bring it against the Cardinals week one.
Hopefully a new Call of Duty video game comes out and Kyler Murray can be distracted.
Yeah. With Kyler Murray, he's another one. You know, we're talking about quarterbacks after you know what to get off the pot.
Yeah, right.
We're talking about Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love with the Packers, with Kyler Murray with the Cardinals. Well compensated. Now you're living up to that $150 million guarantee plus. So I think watch with Jacksonville, the Packers, and the Cardinals. What are they going to do? Because they've paid their quarterback a lot of money. We paid Derek Carr a lot of money, but he ain't here no more. You know, out of sight, out of mind, I ain't here no more. You know,
ain't there no more, right?
Yeah, ain't there no more. But looking at, you know, Kyler Murray, I mean, he is exciting. You know, you want to be entertained how he runs around like a June bug. You ever seen a night of June bug swimming all around? Or are you trying to catch a rabbit or whatever?
Exactly,
I mean,
yeah.
It's unbelievable. And he'll have, boy, that was an unbelievable play. Or then you question about what he actually did.
Inconsistency, right.
And, you know, I have an interest in that game because obviously the Cardinals come into town. My niece's future husband, almost engaged, I guess, whatever you call that. Clayton Tune is backing up Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
You know, University of Houston. So they all come into the game. And I said, man, the Saints, we don't lose at home. We got the Cardinals' number. So I'm joking with my brother and obviously his daughter who's now living in Phoenix. But anyway, I said of all games, Cardinals and the Saints, there'll be a lot of like family feud, a little interest there, who's going to come out on top. Because, you know, it sounds a whole lot better, feels a whole lot better if you want to know than if you're 0-1.
Oh, amen to that.
You know, I don't know. Last year, you could have said, "Well, Bobby, I don't know. I felt unbelievable, 2-0. What the hell happened?"
I don't know.
You know, last year the Saints. Think about this: in the history of the Saints, has there been a better start in Saints history, considering how dominant and scoring points we were against Carolina and the Cowgirls? I mean, I don't know. We'll be like black and gold in the Super Bowl. I mean, all of a sudden. And then, McCoy?
How are we going to keep Clint Kubiak after this season?
Yeah. Oh, no. And you know, we play, but you know what's playing? We play a lot of old Saints coaches.
Yeah.
We play Kubiak and the Seahawks, and then we play Dennis Allen and the Bears.
No Sean Payton this year.
No Sean Payton this year, but we got a preseason.
Right, that's true. So yeah. We do that. Then you're right. We do see Sean.
Yeah, the third, I think, is the third preseason.
Correct.
Right. So, So that'll be interesting. It just goes to show you how you coach long enough, you play long enough, you're a hard gun. Can you be a pro? Can you be a pro no matter?
Can you last in the pro?
Yeah.
Right.
Can you last? But can you be a pro if you last long, no matter where you're playing? You truly got to be like, listen, I'm giving it my all until it's over. You know, whether you're coaching or playing.
Yeah.
You know, think about Kubiak. Here he is in New Orleans. I mean, what it was is like his wife and his kids. A coach's wife is very special because all of a sudden, 5 years, you're in four different cities. Think about your kids, but they got to put up to move. That's a big responsibility. So you're here. All of a sudden, you're going from New Orleans to Seattle. You might as well be in a different country.
Yeah.
You know how far that. Now, I don't know. I think Kubiak, okay, and listen. Not for or against anyone, just being objective. I think Kubiak's going to have success with the Seahawks. Watch out for them in the NFC West. And I think the pressure is going to be on Caleb Williams in Chicago. Can they be the Washington Commanders version this year? I think it's on him. But I think Dennis Allen, that Bears defense, is going to kick ass. I might be wrong, but I think that Dennis Allen – the Bears fans will be pleased with him, and I think Kubiak, the Seahawks fans, will be pleased with him.
Well, you talk about staying power in the NFL, Cajun Cannon. You know who's got staying power on WWL? On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Jimmy and Gretna wants to give us a shout. What's going on, Jimmy?
Jimmy, where are you at? You're sweating a little bit. It's too hot this early. It's too hot this early. It feels like July. Come on, Jimmy.
Hey, look, listen. Let me get my point in before Bobby takes full control of the airwaves, all right? A couple things. Number one, I want all y'all to come out to the Lafitte Seafood Fest this weekend. We're going to be selling some Croatian oysters. That's number one. Number two, I got 4 points. Number two, I'm going with the Rat. I know Shuck's the guy. He was picked by Kellen Moore. I think Rat's going to win it because of that one extra year of experience. And plus, they were my favorite 80s band, Round and Round, Rat. We're going Rat and Roll with it. But look, and on a serious note, Charlie, Southern Miss Regional this weekend, after the Seafood Fest in Lafitte, if we're still in the mix, I'm going up to Hattiesburg. We've got to play Alabama. And look, I'm going with the Knicks tonight, and I've told this to Bobby before. Bobby, my old boss in New York, he was the father of Jay Fiedler, a quarterback in the NFL that you know of.
Yeah, with the Jets.
Correct.
He went to Dartmouth, I think.
He went to Dartmouth. You're correct, all right? The computer chip, Bobby Aber remembers. And look, let me tell you another thing about my old boss. Rest in peace, Ken Fiedler. He raised Anthony Mason of the Knicks. You know, Anthony grew up without, you know, his parents. One was in jail. I think one died of an overdose.
Whoa.
And before Jay Fiedler's dad died, my old boss, they honored him at a Knicks halftime show. And so, look, my vote is for the Knicks. It's a small world after all, and I'm going with the Rat. I want to get your take on that, though.
Well, the Rat has a chance. The Rattler. I don't know if he's a rattlesnake or the Rat, but no, he has a chance. He looks very confident. He's throwing the ball well and just let it play itself out. I mean, that's one thing you don't have to worry about. I think Spencer Rattler, he's been humbled enough. He knows what it is to be a pro. He's just trying to win a damn game. But he's going to compete one snap and clear, day in and day out. No matter if you did great the day before, you got to do it again. If you played poorly, then you got to turn around and win the day. Well, that's the same thing with Tyler Shuck. So I don't know what's wrong with, whatever gen you are, whatever generation, Gen Z, whatever you want to call them. What's wrong with competition? And may the best man win. No, everybody's not equal. You're always going to have winners and losers. And the winners are going to reap the benefits. And then you got to be a good loser to try and keep a great gig in the NFL. Be a good soldier. You know, just...
Shoot, look what Jalen Hurts did in college.
Yes, you were talking about handle adversity.
Right.
He gets benched at Alabama. Oh, I'm going to feel sorry myself. I don't feel like playing no more. What did Jalen Hurts do? Okay, I transfer. I go to Oklahoma. Who's the better quarterback right now? Hello, now. I know it's hindsight. Tua or Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts, it ain't even close compared to Tua. Now, I know Tua got knocked out, and Tua came in and did his job. You know, they both could be successful. That's why, listen, Tyler Shuck, long-term, and Spencer Rattler, they both could be successful because there's not enough quarterbacks in the NFL anyway. So you try and win the job. If not, you're flexible. You go somewhere else. Just compete and win. Then you have a great lifestyle. Then you could be like Chase Daniel. You could be a journeyman.
What a life.
And make over $40 million. You might have to play a bunch of different teams. What a life. You're like a CEO. I mean, that's why everybody wants to be the man. How about you just last? Well, you can get your family off on the right foot and all that. So whether it's Tyler Shuck or whether it's Spencer Rattler, like Jimmy said, the Rat, just go in there and compete. And whoever wins, wins. Don't be bitter. You just got to go fight and just compete.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we're going to hear from Saints head coach Kellen Moore after week two of OTA's media viewing that we had today. So stay tuned right after this. We'll be back with more on WWL Saints Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Want to get into our black and gold sound bank here from Saints head coach Kellen Moore, what he had to say after our second viewing of organized team activities. Here's Coach Moore after today's practice.
What can you actually evaluate with like the offensive linemen this time of year?
It is tricky. You know, a lot of their day is going to be spent in fundamentals and technique and a lot of individual work. The D-line's the same thing. So they're really, you know, you're having to focus on the fundamentals. You're having to look at that and evaluate and see them continue to progress. And then once we get to walk through, that's where they're going to get their team component of it. And again, that setting is a controlled tempo. We're trying not to put ourselves in a compromised position. We don't want, you know, a bunch of physical contact. That's not what this time of year is for. So that is their evaluation of, are they assignment sound? Do they know what they're doing? And so, you know, that's the way this thing is set up at this time of year. And so I think our guys are handling it really well.
What do you like about Chris Olave's game? You know, that you've had a chance to work with him. And what are some areas where you can see him happen?
When he was coming out, what attracted us to us, I was in Dallas. You saw the skill set. You see the physical components. So he's got speed. He's got excellent hands. He attacks the football. I think that's the thing that jumps out on film. His just spatial awareness and understanding of football is at an incredible level. I remember we went through we do like a receiver test when we bring guys in. And, I mean, he was, if not the best guys we've ever had, you know, as we went through that process there over all those years. And so it was very, very impressive, his ability to process football, see it from a big picture perspective. A lot of guys can know their assignment, but he understands how it all ties together. You know, and again, he's showing it out there right now, his ability to line up in a number of different spots, which will allow us to you know, move him around.
Marcus Yarns, undrafted free agent. What do you like about him? That obviously he's so drafted.
Yeah.
Surprised about that. And two, with him being an undrafted free agent, does he have to do something extra than, you know, drafted?
We talked through him through the draft process. We were really, really interested in him from the draft perspective. You know, his background, he's played a lot of different positions, so he has a really diverse background, and we feel like his ability to grow in the running back room, just because it's somewhat new to him, is going to be more leaps and bounds compared to other guys who've been in that position for a long time. And so he's got a great feel for the game. He's got, you know, we feel like the weight room with Ted and those guys is going to be a great growth opportunity for him to continue to develop. And you know, yeah, he was an eighth rounder, as I like to call him. And those guys will hop in here, and once you're in this building, whatever happens happens. You just gotta get in the room, and then it's on from there. So we're really, really excited about him. Yeah.
Talk about the speed of Olave, adding all that versatility, him and Shadid and
Yeah, I really like the experience of all three of those guys, and certainly we have some depth that has some experience as well. And so we feel like it's a deep group, a group that has a lot of experience. They really understand football at a really high level, which I think really excites us, our ability to play them in a number of positions, play matchup football, and obviously the speed factor will be something we'll try to create more and more opportunities for those guys.
Last week I asked about off-platform throws. I know Tyler kind of made one today. He kind of slipped to the left and threw one. As somebody who played in the league and has coached and knows the speed, do you like that and say, let it rip, bro? Or do you kind of cringe thinking, you've got to be careful?
No, I think you gotta practice those situations. You know, certainly any quarterback, if we can be within our base, under control, we would love that. Every single throw. That doesn't happen in the NFL. You gotta be able to throw off platform and in different goofy positions. I think you can see a lot of the drill work that Scott does with these guys, you know, using bags and dummies and different things that they gotta navigate, put them in positions where their feet aren't set and they still gotta get into the posture and get into their ability to throw at those different arm angles. So you know, it's been great for those guys.
What have you thought of the defensive line since arriving here? You know, last year obviously second worst in run defense. Obviously you weren't here yet, but what's your confidence level that group can perform at a high level, and what have you seen from them so far?
They've done a nice job. I think Bo, Jay, you know, BY, you know, they got three of the best in the league that you can possibly have from a coaching perspective. And so we feel like that group's going to be able to develop really, really well. Guys that were here, we certainly added some pieces via trade, free agency, and the draft. And so we feel like we got some depth there that we're excited to let these guys roll. And obviously a lot of their evaluation comes in training camp, just because that's when the pads come on and you get to evaluate that. And obviously the run game is going to be a huge factor of that on both sides of the football.
In your experience calling plays in the NFL, has teaching the RPO game like changed, maybe gotten a little easier, just considering how much of that is used in college football now? I mean, like Spencer Rand, I guess, is that
I think there's definitely some familiarity for these guys in the RPO. We have these RPRs where your ability to, you know, play the read game and play the throw game and make those decisions. Because there is the one thing with a lot of those plays is there's some that are very, you know, defined. And then there's a lot that kind of live in the gray. And there's a decision factor that you kind of have to have reps and experience on. And, you know, it's not exact science with it, whether you, you know, do you have the advantage to throw it? Should you hand it off? And these guys who've done this a bunch of times over the last few years, certainly through college, Tyler was another example. Tyler, you know, ran a ton of these, you know, even at Louisville. And so, you know, these guys got a lot of experience on it, which I think will be great for us.
What kind of impact has Bo Davis made with that D-line? You kind of talked about it a little bit there, but what have you seen from him so far?
Bo's been excellent. Bo's been around this game for a really long time. He has great connection with the players. He gets the best out of them, and you can certainly feel that. And, you know, we feel very fortunate to have him. He's been awesome.
How has Devin Neal
done a great job. You can see that his feel for the game, really high level. Obviously, see some of the past game stuff that's shown up in 7-on-7. And I think one of the things in our walkthrough setting that, you know, some people lose sight on from a running back perspective is how hard the pass protection is. And he's picked up some blitzes, you know, just in that walkthrough setting that you can tell, you know, his brain's clicking really, really well. And he has a great feel for that. And so that's a huge part, because a lot of those younger guys, that's usually their challenge to get on the field, is their ability to play in the pass protection game, and he's done a great job.
Trent Penning looked like he kind of held that left guard spot. Mm-hmm. Is that indicative of him doing well there, or are there just rotations that we have?
I mean, obviously, he's done an excellent job. I mean, a transition is never easy for anyone. And so, you know, the more reps you get at that spot, the more comfortable you're going to be. I think, you know, we've had a couple guys who kind of Tolly going to the right and Trevor going back to the left. Those guys have hopped in there and done an excellent job. And so it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work for those guys. But, you know, we've done it early enough that gives them a ton of reps through this process. And then we'll be able to continue to grow through training camp.
There's a pending position change. How far back?
It was like anytime you come somewhere new, you're continuing to get to know the players. And so that's a process. You just got to get to know them, spend time watching them on film, getting to know them as people. You know, certainly we had discussions as far as, you know, how we can handle the offensive line from a you know, fitting everyone in there standpoint. And then, you know, really the decision didn't certainly happen until we were able to get Kelvin, you know, through that process. And so once we got Kelvin, then we were able to kind of talk through what's the best way of transpiring here. And so, you know, those guys were great about it. They did an excellent job. Obviously, you know, we're going to talk through this as a collaborative group. And so certainly, you know, the offensive line coaches, Doug, you know, talking with personnel guys, just to make sure we're all on the same page and seeing the same vision. So it's been great.
And because Penning has, I mean, his physicality obviously is on tape. And does that make it possible to discern before full contact practices whether this transition is really going to work, or do you still need to see it all through training camp?
We feel great with where he's at. I think he's progressing really, really well. He's done an excellent job of just hopping in there. Again, it's a little bit of a new position for him, but he's in a similar stance that he's been in most of his career on the left side. That helps. And then I think the physicality, especially in training camp, is going to just pop, you know, once he continues to embrace it and just go for it.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore speaking to the media today after the second viewing, for the media at least, for the OTAs. They'll wrap up the second week tomorrow, and then crank back up with the third and final week of voluntary workouts on Monday.
So we have one more OTA.
Yeah, we're back on this, right? Thursdays. Thursdays is media day.
Thursday, then we'll have the mandatory minicamp, which is bam, bam, bam.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, three straight days in a row. But I still think it'll be the same type practices. Like I said earlier, you know, collective bargaining agreement. They're really competing. What you can actually take notes on who's winning and losing is like 7-on-7, not team drills. And even how the CBA collective bargaining agreement has come about is that from the get-go in training camp, they're not like hell-bent to leather.
Right away, right.
No, they're easing into
that ramp-up period.
Ramp-up. I say ease into it. They ramp up, ease into it.
You don't know nothing about ramping up when you were playing.
What? You're going 2 days. Listen, now you can't. Okay, they don't even have 2 days. You can't go more than three straight days of practice.
Right. You need a break.
You have to have a player's day off. No, we would go, I think the most ever, 15 straight days.
Wow.
For sure, 10. Okay. And 2 days. Oh, then you got a day off. No, but it's good. Collective bargaining agreement. That's why you have it. Obviously, You want your players competing in September, October, not be all August, you know, whatever it might be. But, but even high school, your sons are playing high school football right now, Steve. Then they don't have two-a-days.
Right, correct.
And nobody has two-a-days. If you tried to have two-a-days again in high school, you'd have kids quitting football. That's too much. I don't want to do that. You know, so whatever. I'm not saying they solve, but...
It's a different time.
It's a different time, so you just have to accept it and move on.
I will say, to me, it just seems we have a heck of a lot more soft tissue injuries nowadays than when maybe you played, or maybe I just wasn't aware of it then.
Yeah, or, I mean, you kind of train whatever. Steve, I can't answer that. That'd be giving some opinion where I really don't know. So
yeah, I just feel like that more intense training that you went through kind of toughened you up for the rigors of the NFL season, not wore you down.
Now you get fined. Can you imagine? You remember Bull in the Ring? You have all a ring and they blow the whistle and people come and headhunt you? Can't do that. Oklahoma drill?
Right.
You remember LSU? I don't think they can even do that big cat drill. T-Bob always tell me about that. Top offensive against defensive player. I don't think they can even do that no more. You know, you got to, I don't know, just chicken fight. You know, just, I don't know. Listen, it comes to be, and that's a different thing, like flag football. You might say, oh, I want to see NFL players. Like, you got NBA players, the best of the best, to win a gold medal. If I'm an NFL owner and I'm paying millions and hundreds of millions of dollars to a player.
You ain't playing in the Olympics.
You ain't playing no damn Olympics flag football. You land wrong. They don't get, even though they're grabbing the flag, you blot your knee, you blot your Achilles or something. No.
I laughed. I saw Patrick Mahomes was asked about, would you play in the Olympics? He goes, oh, I'm going to leave that to the younger kids.
Yeah.
Patty Mahomes saying he's the grizzled old vet now.
I know it's awesome to win a gold medal, whatever. But sure. If you get a lot of big bucks, like Justin Jefferson, oh, I want to win a gold medal, whatever, a dream. If I'm paying you big bucks, no.
Cincinnati's going, we don't want you to go anywhere.
No, Justin Jefferson, the Vikings. No, you work for the Vikings.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Jamar Chase.
Yeah, Jamar, any of them.
Right.
You work for the Vikings or the Bengals, you don't need to represent your country. That's a different animal. After you retire from the NFL,
sure, you can go.
And you can go try out and see if you can be on the Olympic team for flag football.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be back with more talking about Saints organized team activities with the Cajun Cannon right after this on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been talking about Saints organized team activities. We got to view another session today, Cajun Cannon. I know a wide receiver stood out to you, not just because of the name, but also because of that speed and quickness that he seems
well,
to have.
Just running routes against air.
Yeah, you're like, hey, who's this guy?
I mean, I don't know. He looks pretty damn quick. I said, who is this? And how he caught the ball with his hands. And it's Moochie Dixon.
Mooch.
You know, and I said, well, he went to SMU. Looked like 6 foot, 187, 190 pounds. I mean, that seems like a pretty good size. I said, well, I don't know. Was he more quick than fast? I don't know. He ran a 4.3840. I don't know. That's fast to me. And I said, I don't know. Maybe was he in trouble off the field? Why did he not get drafted? Maybe diamond in the rough? But, Steve, you gave me this information. I thought this was interesting. I go, his mom didn't name him Moochie. Ain't nobody's going to name their mom Moochie and their son Moochie. Even though Plexico Burress is my understanding, his mom was in the hospital. And she looked at the plexiglass in the hospital room, whatever. And so I'm going to name him Plexico. Plexico Burress. You know any individual named Plexico?
No, there's only one that I know for sure.
He was in a nightclub, shot himself in the leg. Outstanding Giants receiver, hooking up with Eli Manning and all that. So just Plexico.
Dumb decisions, right.
Well, I don't know. Moochie Dixon, his real name, his mama didn't name him Moochie. His mom named him Cavante. Not Kelvin, Cavante. I don't know the other Cavantes. I mean, I don't know where
she's
going.
That's in the Plaxico category,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that might be the one and only. Kelvante Dixon. He got the nickname Moochie from his mother as a kid in Carthage, Texas. because he was always mooching food off family members' plates. So we've all done that. I remember my dad hit me upside the head one time on my sister. But my mama just did awesome fried shrimp. I mean, there's fried shrimp and, you know, I'm wolfing mine down. And I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm mooching off my sister's plate. And I'm taking her shrimp and I'm eating them too. Boy, I'm all of a sudden, my dad, without saying nothing, boy, he whacked me in the back of the head. He goes, what are you doing? Don't take your sister's food. And I was like, I knew I was wrong, so I didn't talk back. I didn't say nothing. But I guess that was a form of mooching. Well, I guess Moochie Dixon, he was always mooching off food off the family member's plate.
You think he's bigger? He's only, you know, 189.
Yeah. So, but he's quick. He's quick. He's fast. So that'll be interesting to see when they put the pads on, maybe a preseason game if they're tackling. And
right.
The reason why that caught my attention also, just watching him on the field. But SMU made the college playoffs. And they had success, so he must have did something right at SMU. But I was wondering why he wasn't drafted, because he ran a fast enough 40. He's not that small. Mike said he was a little light, but maybe he put on some weight, because 6 foot, 187, 190 in that range, that's not small. And he ran a 4.38 40, so that's interesting, like Moochie Dixon. You know, can you imagine if he
40 games for the Mustangs, 74 receptions, 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, so he's part of the mix, and I know Kellen Moore can design plays if he can get that yards after the catch. Like I said, he's quick, not necessarily, you know, make a quick out, whatever, getting that yards after the catch. So that could be interesting if that type player, because that'd be easy for the fans to chant the Who Dat Nation. You know, they're not booing him. You know, they go, Mooch.
Mooch.
Mooch. Mooch. Mooch. Mooch. Yeah, you can get a good chant going there. So I'd be interested to see, given the opportunity, what he does in the preseason.
Out of all the guys that you can recall playing with, who do you think had the best nickname that they would go by?
Nickname? Like a player that I played with?
Yeah, like a guy you played with.
Okay, you caught me off the spot. I'm going to think about that. Maybe I have a little time. I'll think about it.
All right, we'll hit the break. Come back with more sports talk right after this on WWL.
Something should be on the top of my head, Steve. Sorry about that.
As we wrap up sports talk here, I was talking to the Cajun Cannon, asking him some of the best nicknames of the guys he's played with. We went to break. He was thinking of some. Charlie even chimed in.
Yeah.
Cajun Cannon, top three we're going to go with.
Yeah, to keep it family friendly, because they can have a number of nicknames. But this is one also from 97-18. I'm going to give it three. Now, one of the best nicknames is Ironhead Hayward. You know, Cameron Hayward, who's all pro, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, with his dad, Craig Hayward, Ironhead, talk about a battering ram. When they would do drills like back-on-backs blocking, the great Sam Mills and Von Johnson, they'd make the rookies go against him. And I go, what, y'all scared Ironhead? He goes, no, Bobby, we don't want a headache the rest of practice. Because it was like, you know, in National Geographic, wham, you see those rams hitting?
Right.
And Ironhead, just truly Ironhead battering ram. So Ironhead first. I'd say that definitely won. I would say Bad Moon Rising, Andre Rising. Had a tattoo, you know, Bad Moon. No, he truly was the Bad Moon Rising. So and then, you know, one name, and I was kind of puzzled by this, Ricky Jackson. City champ. I said, Ricky, what do you mean you city champ? I said, don't you want to be world champ, Super Bowl champ? He said, well, Bobby, before you Super Bowl champ or world champ, you got to win the city championship. You know, state championship, whatever. You got to be city champ. So, you know, a little half towel used to wear? I never forget, Ricky wrote like city champ on that. So, when I see Ricky to this day, I go, what's up, city champ? You know, I don't even call him Ricky. And he remembers that. That goes a long way. But it makes sense. You know, you got to be tops at school, or you got to win the city championship before you can win anything else beyond that.
Cajun Cannon's a pretty cool nickname, too.
Yeah, that I got to give Michigan credit to that. Kurt Sylvester, Detroit Free Press.
Tomorrow, folks, 2 o'clock, first pitch, LSU baseball right here on WWL. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to everyone.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat go, Saints?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.